Let them know who it is.
I now present to you
Force Fed Fizzballs Globe Squatter Radio Sonar 2009 Special, Europe's hottest electronic music festival. With your hosts, Prince Nod and Suckerfish P. Jones.
Hey, this is Marianne Hobbs, and you're listening to Force Fed Fistfuls. People ask me what I do for a living frequently, and I would say that I'm an evangelist, which is where the album title Evangeline came from, because I just thought it sounds like a kind of female version of the word evangelist, really. But that's what I do for a living, really. It's almost beyond just a radio show or just going and playing in clubs or at festivals. It's more like a kind of... It's a mission that is right at the very core of your soul, you know. I feel like I'm an evangelist for sound, and I mean, in terms of dubstep, I think I reacted to it in the same way that John Peel reacted to punk, really. If you'd have looked at John Peel's show back in the 70s, it's kind of really funny because, you know, he was playing, I don't know, like 24-minute Led Zeppelin jams and stuff. You know, he was deep into prog rock. He probably was wearing a cape or something at the time. But, punk came along and it literally changed his life overnight. The entire remit of his program changed, and I wouldn't say at all that he abandoned the other genres of music that he loved, but he certainly threw a massive spotlight onto punk and really, really put it at the forefront of the frame in terms of what he was putting on a pedestal on the show. And I think that's a similar thing that I did with dubstep, really.
So there was a moment for you when that happened?
There was a build-up to that point. The flashpoint was Dubstep Wars, without a question. I mean, you know, the biggest show of my entire career. I think if you, as a broadcaster, are able to throw together one show like that in a lifetime, you would be blessed, you know. And Dubstep Wars was just the most incredible experience for me. But yeah, I mean, the preamble was that I'd probably been supporting the sound on the show for well over a year, and I could feel the momentum building in the scene. You know, you could feel it in the clubs, the numbers swelling, the producers' plates becoming better in quantum leaps every time they delivered a new tune to you. You know, you could hear a significant move forward, and you could just feel that sense of incredible movement in the scene, this amazing momentum building. And it just felt like the right moment to put together that special. But I have to be honest, we had never anticipated the response that we would get. It was just... There was a magic in the studio that night that I'll never forget. And I had absolute confidence that all seven producers would come with the music and that they would touch people and change people's lives, but not really on the vast global scale that transpired. You know, it was just amazing. I remember DJ Distance put this tiny little post on Dubstep Forum, which probably had 200 members at the time. And within 5 days, there were 20,000 hits on that thread, and we were all going like, wow, you know, where has this come from? Because these were the days still where, you know, if you went to Ford and there were 20 people there, then that was a big number. You know, it's like, wow, Ford was stinging last night, wasn't it? You know, it was really going off. And we just, I mean, the way that the sound seemed to echo around the planet within the space of a number of days and really, really touch people so deeply and move people and literally launch a global scene from that moment forward. I've never experienced anything like it. I doubt I ever will do again, to be honest. That was a really, really special time for me. Hey, this is Marianne Hobbs and you're listening to Force Fed Fistfuls. What do you need in a track to make the experimental show? I think it's just kind of, it's twisted into the DNA of a tune, isn't it, really? You can't quantify it. It's just, it's a unique energy. It's almost like a elemental force. It touches you at the very core of your soul and you respond to it emotionally, physically, spiritually. Do you know what? That's a really difficult question. I think... In terms of the more the more brutal tunes, yeah, there's definitely a sort of, there's a dark grit, there's a dirt, and it gives you a shiver. And yeah, you really feel it, and it's, you feel it low down. But I'm not certain that that always applies. I think with a lot of the more beautiful music or the more esoteric music, it touches you somewhere that you can't even, you know, if you were to look at a physical map of the human body, you couldn't stick a pin in it and say, that's where it hits me, because it's almost like it's in the ether somewhere. It's almost, it's part of your being that doesn't exist as a physical presence. It's part of your soul in a way, you know what I mean? It touches you at a deeper level. Somewhere in your cerebral cortex, I think it just finds a way to twist itself in, and, you know, it just, I don't know, it plays on your unconscious or your subconscious somewhere. It plays some, pushes some imaginary buttons. I don't know, it's hard to say. It's more about touching your soul, I think, than even a physical reaction. I think with some of the murkier stuff, you're right, you get that really physical, dirty, guttural reaction to it, and you know that it's going to move a club. You can just, you know, you feel the bass, like, in your throat and in your belly, and it's just, yeah, it's you think this is going to absolutely blow up a dance floor. But for other genres, it's slightly more, I don't know, I like that quality that you can't catch it, it's just somewhere in the ether, you know.
Where do you see today's electronic music fan? Are they as concerned with genre as the producers, and what do you think is going to happen to genres in the next 5 years? Will there be any?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question, actually. I think gone are the days in terms of serious ghettos in music, you know, with the hip-hop camp in the red corner and the techno camp in the blue corner and the drum and bass camp in the yellow corner, you know. That doesn't really exist anymore, and I think when you come to a place like Sonar and you see how diverse all of the bills are, especially when you look at the, you know, the entire lineups, the way that they break down Sonar by day and Sonar by night. I mean, there's every conceivable form of electronic music on a bill like this, and, you know, that's a wonderful thing to see, all these different types of genres coming together. And I think, you know, music moves forwards in lots of tiny, tiny, tiny little steps every single day. And what normally happens is, at the point that there's a real flashpoint, then the media will seize on a sound and give it a name. But almost the day after they give it a name, it begins to mutate and move on and soak in different influences and change form again. And then there's this hideous process, you know, where the papers want to divide it then into subgenres, and so it goes on and on. But really and truthfully, that's of no concern whatsoever to any of the artists. I mean, it's really kind of funny when you speak to a lot of the artists who are producing sound. They hate a lot of the tags that are applied to various different forms of music. I remember back in the days even interviewing Kurt Cobain, and he hated the term grunge, you know. A lot of the dubstep producers don't really like dubstep very much, you know. The wonky producers, which I never use actually the word wonky myself at all, but just to give you an example, nobody who produces that sound, you know, be it Flying Lotus or Hudson Mohawk or Rusty, ever uses that expression, and neither do I. It's purely become a journalistic term. You know, the next generation of producers are completely unconstrained by old-fashioned parameters in terms of where you build a picket fence and you say you cannot step over that mark, because that marker, at the end of this marker, ends drum and bass or ends techno. That doesn't exist anymore. I mean, you can hear the old school, and they're still, or maybe the old school are going to be trapped in those little pigeonholes and those little ghettos forever. I'm not sure if they'll ever move forward, but the new generation of artists, you know, you look at an artist like Gaslamp Killer last night, or somebody like Joker, who is ostensibly a dubstep producer, but actually when you look at what he plays, you know, it's the loosest possible term that you can really apply to his sound, you know. And I think it's a wonderful thing to be able to have that great freedom, you know, to be able to roll between any form of piece of music that you just feel is completely, has that spirit and that energy and just deserves to be heard, you know. I think that's a really, really deeply liberating thing, certainly for me, definitely. Hey, this is Marianne Hobbs, and you're listening to Force Fed Fistfuls.